Today's scripture comes from Colossians 1, 11 through 20. May you be strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks.
Thankful to our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. How you speak into our lives and how your word speaks to us as well, to each of us as your children. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for this power. Thank you for this love. And it's in the name of our center, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. So you think you've had a bad day. Let me tell you some bad days. In 1985, amateur golfer, you know it's going to be a bad day, Angelo Spagnuolo took 66 shots on the par 3 17th hole at TPC Sawgrass in Florida, finishing with a round score of 257 to win the America's worst avid golfer competition. Now, if I understand correctly, the higher the score in golf, the worst, right? You don't want to get a higher score? Is that the point? Okay. On December 18th, 1887, prize fighters Jake Kilrain of the U.S. and Jem Smith of England fought bare knuckles for 106 rounds in France. The fight was only stopped for darkness and declared a draw. And you think you've had a bad day. Have you had a bad day? Not today, but at some point in your life? Thursday, you've named it actually. Okay, absolutely. Sometimes we remember those days, don't we? Yeah, specific day. For us as Christians, we understand that we're going to have bad days. Just because we're a Christian doesn't mean we're not going to have bad days. But because we're a Christian, we understand that the bad days won't last. We also understand that even in the midst of the bad days, the challenging times, the fights, the struggles, even in the midst of those things, God is still at work. There is a key component of that as well. and a key component that we celebrate today on Christ the King Sunday. Sometimes the church calendar year is something that maybe we don't really think of that often. Certainly, we think about it in Advent, which is going to be starting next Sunday, because we have the Advent wreath up here, and we light the candles of Advent. We think about it during Lent, because we're supposed to give up something for Lent, right? So we think about it. And certainly we think about it during Easter, because why else would we wake up that early in the morning for a sunrise service? So we think about the church calendar in certain times of the year, but today, I don't know that we necessarily woke up and say, yeah, it's Christ the King Sunday. But it's an important Sunday. It's an essential Sunday because it reminds us who should be at the center of our lives. Christ. Whenever you come into worship, what's at the center? What's literally at the center up there? The cross. Whenever you leave worship, you'll look right above those center doors. What's at the center right there? A cross. That reminds us that Christ is at the center. And whenever we put Christ at the center, then indeed there is always hope. Even when we hear extraordinarily bad news, and maybe we're not going through a difficult time, but somebody that we know and love is going through a difficult time. Even when we hear that news, we know that just because something bad is happening, it doesn't mean that God has left. It doesn't mean that God is absent. Once again, sometimes in the most extraordinarily bad times, or the jarring circumstances, or the trying days, sometimes it is in the midst of that that we experience God or see God in a way that we never had before. Have you ever had that experience? It's surprising. It's startling how God speaks and says, you are mine. You belong to me. You're my child. The scripture was written to believers, to early Christians, Colossae and Laodicea. And it was written by Paul to them to encourage them. Now, Paul did not start this church, but he still wanted to encourage them. Think about people in your life that encourage you. Think about other believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, that encourage you, that you know they're praying for you. We all have those people, and it makes a difference. Paul was seeking to be that kind of person to the early church. Now, Colossae especially was on a major trade route. And so it was a busy place, and there were a lot of distractions there. What we understand also is that the early church arose out of pagan worship, out of idol worship. And so there were individuals that were coming to the faith, that were accepting that name of Christ, that were coming from a place where before they maybe had worshipped a particular image or statue or practiced some other kind of divination. Now, they were called to put Christ at the center. And yet there's temptations, aren't there? Images that are sent our way, especially in the modern world, that say, this is what you need to make your life better. Commercials, advertisements that say, boy, if you only had this product, my goodness, everything would be solved. Let me tell you what. I was given a Swiss Army pocket knife, and I still had problems, okay? Even the ones with the lights on it and the pens. Still issues. Doesn't solve anything. And there's nothing, no thing that can solve all of our problems. However, when our life is centered on Jesus Christ, when we take the name of Christ, call ourselves Christians, and we remember the cross, what it means for us, what God did through Christ for us on that cross, how God redeemed us, how God offered forgiveness, and also how God's grace was introduced to the world in a whole new way through that cross, through Christ, then indeed we understand where our answers lie. That name of Christ is called to be lifted up above all other names. When we take that name, Christ is the center of our lives as well. Will challenges still come? Problems? Certainly. Will there still be distractions? Even when we say, God, I really want Christ at the center of my life, and I'm seeking to follow you, and I'm seeking to hand over my life. Here I am, Lord. And then right around the corner, there's another distraction, or there's a challenge that nags in us. God never leaves us, however, whenever we claim that relationship with Him through Christ. And we are more than conquerors through Christ, through that name. And nothing can separate us from the love of God when we have that name of Christ at the center of our very being. In other words, we have hope where we didn't have it before because of our saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In this scripture passage, it's encouraging. It's encouraging. It really is. Sometimes we hear the words and they kind of roll off, and especially whenever we have the wonderful liturgists that we always do every Sunday, we hear those words and they enter our ears, but I want to go through them briefly once again to be able to share with you their power. In verse 11, and in verse 12, and in verse 13 and 14, these verses are all speaking about the power of God for people. Verse 11, God's power makes us strong and enables our endurance. In other words, God is at work in us all the time. God never stops working in us. It's like an athlete training for an event or for a sport. Whenever you train, you gain endurance, you gain strength. You prepare yourself for that endeavor. As Christians, the same thing happens for us. In verse 12, God's power has made it possible for us to share the destiny of God's people. In other words, there is a hope for us. Death in this life is not the final word. Resurrection is. Hope beyond death. That is our destiny through Christ. Verses 13 and 14. God's power breaks the power of darkness and frees us for the reign of Christ. Sometimes whenever you watch the news, whenever you read the news, whenever you hear the news, it's discouraging. I just heard the other day, read an article about in Syria with the warfare that's going on there, snipers are now specifically targeting children. Now we hear that news. I hear that news, and it weighs me down. Just saying what I just shared with you takes something out of me emotionally. And yet, even knowing that, we understand that God is still present. And even when there's inexcusable evil, unspeakable evil at work in the world, it is still God's world. Sometimes when we see or read about darkness, we just need to say, it's still God's world. God, you're still in control. We need to speak that against the darkness. Say that along with me. God, you're in control. God, you're in control. You can speak that against the darkness that you read about or hear and know that it's true. In verse 15, we switch to the person of Christ. Verse 15, Christ is God made visible. Reading about Jesus in the Gospels, how he healed people, what he said, how he treated people, how he walked about, the presence of God working through him. In Christ, we see God. And so if you wonder what God's like, read about Christ. In verse 16, Christ is co-creator from the beginning. From the beginning, God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit worked together in that triune way. In verse 17, Christ is the glue of creation. The best kind of glue that holds things together, even when it seems like things are breaking apart. I don't know if you've ever used Gorilla Glue before. Anybody ever used that? Anybody ever use duct tape to try to fix a problem? So, you know, if you have some duct tape and a hammer, you can fix all sorts of things. No problem, okay? All sorts of things are fixed up. But, you know, even when you have that, you know, you're using a whole row of it, you know, a whole roll of it, and you think, okay, this is going to hold. Then all of a sudden you look at it and it's falling off again. It's a little bit frustrating. So Christ does hold things together. We can count on Christ. Certainly, maybe in your life, someone has let you down at some point. Somebody has turned their back on you, walked away. Christ never does that. We can count on him. We can count on him to be there whenever things seem to be falling apart in our world. In verse number 18, Christ is the head of the church. In verse 20, Christ is Redeemer. The head of the church, this reminds us, and Paul was emphasizing this to the early church as well. And whenever he wrote to them, it meant that he was someplace else. He wasn't there with them. So Paul was talking to early Christians and saying, what you're doing, getting together, means something. It's important. And it truly conveys to the world that God is at work in surprising and sustaining ways. When we get together, when we all take the time to be here together and worship God, it's a witness to the world that God is still in control and Christ is our center. And God's Holy Spirit has moved us to be in this place, but not just to be here, okay? Not just to bear the name of Christ here, but to also share it out in the world. Certainly, we care about one another here. We love one another. We're together on the journey. We're in this together, friends. We're in this together as the body of Christ. But isn't it a wonderful privilege also to now take that good news out to a world that needs to hear it more than ever, now more than ever? Isn't that exciting? To be able to take that message out so that other people want to be able to learn about this Jesus Christ. Now, if we go out and we're simply curmudgeons or joy suckers, or whatever other term you can think of, do you think that anybody is going to want to learn more about Jesus from seeing us? If we share love, if we're channels of grace, if we point to God in our lives and what we do and say, especially what we do, there are going to be people that want to say, who is this Jesus? Look at the effect on that life. I want to learn more about him. That's part of what Paul was saying to the early church. He was encouraging them, but we can't just stay in that place of encouragement. We must then take that encouragement and how God has filled us out into the world. Do you understand that? So certainly, you can be encouraged today and know that God loves each and every one of you more than I can ever explain to you. But now, or in just a few moments, because I'm not done yet, now, just a few moments, we're almost there, hang in there, just a few moments when you're racing to brunch, or you're racing to get there ahead of whoever, when you start thinking about lunch, when your stomach starts growling, and you're thinking, when is this guy ever going to get done? We can know that we can also think about, how am I going to be witnessing Jesus? How am I going to be sharing God's love? What I do and say. One more thing, and I mean it, one more thing. Because of the cross, we can live in great confidence and joy that all the things that are so wrong, things that we think are wrong in our life, things that we beat ourselves up about, and things that we hear about that are wrong in the world, will be made right, and that Christ has already begun putting all things right. By inviting us into His kingdom, we are partners and co-inheritors of all things made right. And so we should work for justice and the righting of wrongs. We should work for peace and reconciliation, but we do these things because we know that all of this will be done in Christ. Do we need to be afraid? No. Do we need to fear evil? No. Are we more than conquerors through Christ? Yes. I'd invite you to think and ponder with me in these moments of discernment and these moments of reflection about where Christ is in your life. Is He at the center? Is He at the center? This morning, you can do that once again. Simply say, God, I seek to put Christ at my center. I seek to trust in You. I seek to be open to Your Holy Spirit. Know that God's love and grace are already filling you because you are His children. Join with me.